255 DN Wausau. Streaming at Bullfall.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Day 8 of the government shutdown. There is no sign of progress on Capitol Hill, just some heated discussions.
For years, you always lectured about how we need to keep the government open.
You're making a show of this to make yourself relevant.
It's sad. You could easily sign on to this.
You're embarrassing yourself right now.
And there are growing concerns among federal workers and others. Sarah Nelson is with the Association of Flight Attendants.
What could be more of a distraction than not getting a paycheck?
Right.
Not knowing if you're going to be able to keep your family in your home. Not knowing if you're going to be able to buy that insulin that you need to keep your child alive.
And the shutdown is taking a toll on the IRS, as Linda Kenyon reports.
A notice posted on the IRS website says the agency will furlough nearly half its workforce. The IRS previously experienced a workforce reduction due to cuts implemented under the Department of Government Efficiency. Last year, the IRS had some 100,000 workers. The furloughs during the government shutdown will leave it with less than 40,000 employees.
Texas National Guard troops spent their first night at a U.S. Army Reserve Center in Illinois as the state challenges their deployment. Governor J.B. Pritzker responded to President Trump's social media post that he should be jailed for failing to protect ICE officers.
Look, he's a coward. He says a lot of things to the camera. He likes to pretend to be a tough guy. Come and get me.
Former FBI Director James Comey pleaded not guilty today to lying to Congress 5 years ago. CBS's Scott McFarland reports the case has thrown a spotlight on the Justice Department's efforts to target the president's political adversaries.
It's such a bare-bones charging document. So little is actually alleged in here. We don't know specifically the false statement James Comey is accused of making.
A 29-year-old man has been charged with sparking one of the worst wildfires in California history, the Palisades fire that killed 12 people and burned down hundreds of homes and businesses. Mayor Karen Bass.
The news of the arrest of the individual that did such a heinous act just re-raises all the trauma. It sends you back to the day.
Matt Piper reports the last escapee from a New Orleans jailbreak is back in custody months later.
Derrick Groves' arrest marks the end of a months-long multi-agency manhunt that began after he and nine other inmates escaped from the Orleans Parish Jail on May 16th. Groves was taken into custody in a house in Atlanta after a brief standoff. The 28-year-old had the most violent criminal record of the escapees, convicted of murder, and was facing a possible life sentence before the jailbreak.
On Wall Street today, stocks finished mixed. The Nasdaq finished at another record high. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, I'm Mike.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Okay, right now I just have the audio on, so.
But you still need to put them on. Because then I can.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Frost advisory tonight, mostly clear, patchy frost and lows in the mid-30s tonight. Sunshine for tomorrow, a high temp in the mid-60s. Slight shower chance Thursday night. Back into sunshine for Friday. Highs once again in the mid-60s. It's 55 right now.
Todd Allbaugh.
If you're a Windows 10 user, tune in next time as we'll talk about the potential end for support. And we're giving away tickets to No Packers, No Life, the new Packers movie, next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
And welcome back. It is our number two of the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, also you can join us on YouTube, youtube.com, and the 98.9 WXCO channel. Also, don't forget that if you missed the program, we are available as a podcast by either going to WXCO.fm and or to civicmedia.us. Go to the show pages there. Or if you're on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, just subscribe to the Big High School Sports Show, and you can listen to our previous episodes and this episode as well later on this evening. Again, I am Chad Holmes, flying solo tonight as Coach Jason Foster unable to be with us tonight. He'll be back with us next week, but as we move forward, it's time now for our coach guest for this week, and we're very happy to welcome the head football coach of the Wittenberg-Burnhamwood Chargers, Jason Rick. And Coach, first of all, thanks for coming back on the program.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
I got to tell you, this season, as we've been following your team along with the other teams here in Central Wisconsin, the one thing that jumps out about your team, it's been a gray hair special kind of year. You've had some very tight games, a couple of overtime games. You had the big comeback win a couple of weeks ago in the fourth quarter against Loyal Greenwood. I guess to start off, it has been quite a roller coaster for your team, hasn't it, this year?
Yeah, it has been a huge roller coaster. Probably not what any of us expected, early on from when the season ended last year. But it's high school sports, and you got to make what it's worth right now.
It really started in the preseason, didn't it, with the loss of your quarterback?
Yeah, you know, that was a big loss. You know, when we when we had a lot of high hopes for Bryson going into the year, you know, he was going to be a 4-year starter. Really took the helm last year and really learned a lot early on last year and really became a really good leader. And, you know, all off season, we looked at him, and then we had to make some changes. And that's where we're at now.
Bryson Schmid, we're talking about. And I wanted to ask you about him because one thing about high school athletics, it's so limited. You don't get a chance to redshirt. It's, it goes by so very quickly for these young people. What's it been like, I guess, for the program or for this young man to try to make sure that he's still very much part of it? Because I imagine that's important, because you don't get this time back, and that's really sad, I think, for high school athletes who get hurt.
Yeah, no, it extremely is. You know, you nailed it on the head. It is sad. You know, a kid who, you know, I can look back at in my classroom in middle school and think, hey, this kid's going to be something special, and him working, you know, his whole athletic career to this year. You know, everybody looks for their senior year and their football year, and he's got such a good head on his shoulders, though. He really does. He's still a part of the team. He shows up in practice when he doesn't have physical therapy. He's actually called a couple games at our middle school, helped out the eighth grade, and he's called a little bit of offense. And those kids really look up to him. They really enjoyed that. You know, when we've had a split squad in middle school, he's volunteered to go down and help out the eighth grade, and those eighth graders love that because, you know, they've watched Bryson for the last 3 years on the varsity field. And, you know, but he's got a bright future ahead of him. He's going up to Duluth. They're excited to have him. He's excited to go there. And I'm just really happy that he's got another chance at football after this year.
Let's go into your coach's room. Go between the lines. Because number one, you think about the young man, but then you have to think about how you're going to replace on a really, really important player.
Absolutely.
What were the discussions like after that, where you had to go back and kind of figure things out?
Yeah, you know, that's where we had to start all over. You know, we thought we'd move. You know, our quarterback position the last, you know, 5-6 years has really been the key part of our offense. You know, dating back to 3 quarterbacks ago, and you know, going ahead, it's like we dabbed Bryson, and Bryson took all the reps last year, and you know, we kind of put a lot in that pot, and you know, going to it, we threw around some ideas, and we thought we were going to move Caden Yeager there originally, just because he's, you know, a tremendous athlete, and he's, you know, just a playmaker. And, you know, we had a junior step up with Bo, and he looked really good during our scrimmage. And we said, you know, it'll be better if, you know, we can spread Caden out, or we can move him in the backfield, and we can just, you know, do a little more things with Caden outside instead of just putting him at quarterback. So that's where we ended up going with.
Looking at the season so far, we'll kind of delve into the rest of your team, but you had a nice win to start off with the Bon Duel. It was always a kind of a thorn in the side of everybody. It's been a long time rivalry back in the old days, yep, when we were conference rivals. And then, of course, had overtime games against Tomahawk and Stratford in weeks 2 and 4.
Yeah.
How would you – let's kind of take the first half of the season, because, again, you got a new quarterback. You're trying to find your way. I imagine it's very exciting to beat Bon Duel and then to lose a couple of heartbreakers like you did against Tomahawk and Stratford. Some adversity early for your guys, wasn't there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like you said, our conference is strong from top to bottom. I mean, you can't take a week off, and that's why, you know, you're playing through adversity. You know, it was a huge win with Bon Duel. You know, they were, a one game away from state last year, bringing back a lot of key pieces. You know, so that was a good win to get out on top, especially, like you said, with a new quarterback and trying to find our way. And then on Tomahawk, we knew that they were going to be a good team. You know, that coach up there has done a tremendous job of turning that around, and those kids have bought in, and we knew that they were going to be a juggernaut and a tough, hard-nosed opponent. You know, and we come down to, you know, getting an extra point blocked, or maybe twice that game. You know, you take away that one play or two extra points, we don't go to overtime, and we end up winning the game. But, you know, you're only as good as your last play, and the next play is always the biggest, is what I tell the kids. And, you know, learning moving forward, we beat Wega, which was a good, you know, good, very good athletic team, and so get back on. And then, you know, Stratford, you know, we knew what we were going to get with them, and again, came down to a blocked extra point early on, and, you know, granted, they missed one later on too, but just got to capitalize on them. You know, we could have really easily folded, and, you know, Loyal Greenwood came in with one loss, and they were, you know, another tough team too, and I think a lot of, you know, as soon as you lose your leader, you know, people kind of are getting ready to jump on your back. And that's what, you know, we're going to get everybody's best. And, you know, we got, you know, keep going one game at a time now.
Let's talk about that, the end of the Loyal Greenwood game. You've had the game against Stratford where they scored late to force OT and then win it on a field goal. And then Spencer Columbus is, and again, I think they're one of the underrated teams. They play tough against everybody this year, and they finally turned tough into wins the last couple of weeks, including against your team. And then all of a sudden,
you nail it on that. I mean, Jason Gorse over there does a tremendous job getting them ready, and they have a really good running back, and you know, give them the ball, and good things are going to happen. And we just, you know, it was a game of, what do they call it, Murphy's Law, where everything could go wrong, went wrong. You know, we kind of had, you know, I think we had 3 interceptions we've thrown. We just couldn't get, you know, when we were moving the ball, something would, you know, we'd kill ourselves shoot ourselves in the foot with a penalty to move us back. And, you know, we had a rain delay to start. So then you had to keep those kids occupied. And, you know, trying to corral 16, 17, 18-year-old kids in the locker room isn't always the easiest. And, you know, but they played extremely well. And, you know, Loyal Greenwood, we had to grind it out. You know, we had to get a little momentum. We had a couple big stops. They scored on two big pass plays, and we found a way to win.
Did it feel like, as you got to the end of that game, that in a sense the season was a bit on the line there?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I you look at that, every win's important now with the new playoff format, and you know, we going into that, you know, we knew we had to turn things around, because if we would have lost that game, it's just, you know, you lose two or three in a row there, and it's hard to recover, you know, and then you get the wheels would fall off. And I think it was a, you know, hopefully we can say it's a turning point in our season, and we can straighten it back out, find a way to make the playoffs, and maybe make some noise in the playoffs.
Let's talk a bit about your team. You mentioned Caden Yeager. He had a big yep. game against Colby last week. I'm looking at the numbers, and it's hard to average 11.7 yards per carry. That's not easy to do. Can you talk a little bit about what he does?
He just works hard. You know, he's got great top end speed. He's agile. You can put him out. You can catch the ball. He's, you know, we weren't giving him the ball enough, and that's why we had to change some roles around and try to move some people around. And we just, you know, even if they stopped Caden 10 times, there might be two or three times that he bust out for a big one, and that's kind of what he's been doing. You know, he always looks to hit the home run, but, you know, we got to keep telling him, hey, just, you know, one play at a time, and those good things will happen. But you get him out in space, he's hard to catch.
One thing that kind of jumps out as well is that while he does have 782 yards, you have Bo Davis with 407 and Alberto Sanchez yep. with 323. I imagine that kind of balance does help that offense immensely.
Yeah, tremendously. You know, I mean, Bo's getting it. You know, Bo's doing a great job of not trying to be Bryson Schmidt. You know, he's not him as a quarterback and as a player himself. Like, he's got to make his own identity, you know, and I think that's, you know, it's hard to follow a kid like that, but Bo's doing a great job of keeping people honest and getting the yards that they give to him. We know that people are going to key against Caden and try to take away the big play, which is going to open things up for everybody else. And Alberto's been running extremely well, you know, up the middle. He's our toughest kid overall, our strongest kid from the weight room down, and he's worked really hard in the offseason. He's always been a lineman, you know, all his whole career, and we moved him kind of to a fullback, tailback spot, and he's worked hard and he's earned everything that he's got.
Let's talk about the line, because I know that Eddie Nowinski had been somebody that was very good yep. In the run-up. Is he still doing the job up front and generally your line?
Yep. You know, it's nice to lean on those guys a lot, because we returned four out of our five starters, and all those guys have played healthy. You know, they battled some sicknesses, but overall, you know, I mean, we really lean on Eddie. I mean, his leadership, you know, and his football IQ. He's a great kid. I'd love to. I'm really hoping to see him play next year in college somewhere. I think, you know, you get him in the right program, and, you know, they're gonna add size and add strength to him. And he's just a kid that works hard, and he knows the game of football. And you know, the line up front, like, he's a leader to all the five of those guys. You know, we kind of go through him.
Who are some of the other guys up front that have been doing the job? Because they don't get talked about enough.
No, they don't. You know, and that's, I mean, you know, you're going to win every game, you know, up front. I mean, between the trenches, you know, offense, defense. You know, Mason Wiersbe's our center. He's a kid that just loves football, loves studying, wants to do well all the time. Henry Egging plays the tackle. You know, 2-year starter, and George Sigmiller too. He's a good wrestler. He actually golfs too. I think he's one of our top golfers in our conference, but just, you know, they really work well together, and they're multi-sport athletes, and it's nice to have the continuity behind them for those last 2 years.
Looking at the defense, for the most part this year, it looks like you've been very solid.
Yeah, our defense has been our backbone of our team this year. It truly has. When our offense has been sputtering, you got to tip our hat to our defense for keeping in every game, you know, between, you know, yeah, I know the Spencer game, it looks like we lost by three touchdowns, but a lot of them came down to our offense, you know, a pick six and turning the ball over late, and, you know, it just kind of got blown out of proportion. But our defense has really played well. I'd say up until last week where we played Colby, where they might have just gotten complacent. You know, we knew Colby was a struggling team this year, and I think those guys just, you know, kind of took off, you know, took a play off, and And they learn real fast that you can't take a playoff in high school because no matter who you are, you're going to score. And I mean, Kobe put up 33 points on us last week. And I think it was a good eye opener going, hey, you have to work hard every single play, every single week, no matter who you play.
Again, we're talking.
But our defense. Yep, go ahead.
I have to reset things there to let people know. We're talking to head coach Jason Rick of the Wittenberg-Burnhamwood Chargers here on the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. And I guess, you know, continuing the defensive talk, you said it. I mean, you give up. Why Wyoming Fremont's a team that often puts up big numbers, 7 points. I mean, Stratford, 13 in regulation, outstanding. Yep. Loyal Greenwood, 16. And that's a great foundation to build on, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you can – you know, when you can lean on your defense going, hey, they're going to keep you in the ball game. If you can, you know, get a couple scores and get a lead, you're going to lean on them, you know. And those guys just play really well together. You know, we got some real good kids, real good athletes in the secondary that we trust to play the one-on-one matchups. And we got some, our D-line is our deepest. You know, we're able to go, you know, only one two-way starter on the defensive line. So that gives those guys a lot of fresh opportunities. Where, you know, a school our size, usually you're not able to. Usually you're playing both ways. So I think that's really helpful, having, you know, three out of our four defensive linemen playing one way. They're always at 100%. You know, they're just – they work hard, and they're fun to watch.
You touched on it a bit earlier about this conference. I mean, it is really a good conference when you look at some of the teams that are 2 and 3 in the conference. I don't think anybody – would overlook again Spencer Columbus. You got a 2 and 3 conference team on Friday against Marathon.
Yeah.
I mean, Loyal Greenwood's now 2 and 3 in the conference. I mean, these are the teams that are below 500 in addition to the Amherst, who's undefeated, and Stratford, yeah, 5-0 in the conference. This conference is really loaded, isn't it?
It is, from top to bottom. It truly is, and that's why you look at these scores, and you can't go off of scores because, you know, you look at, we beat Wega. I can't remember the score, but we beat them by
34-7.
Yeah. You know, and then all of a sudden they have a dogfight game against Amherst last week.
Yep.
But then 2 weeks ago they get blown out by Marathon. It's like, well, it's high school sports. You got to show up. You got to preach to those kids that everything matters, what they do. You know, if they take a playoff, it's just gonna expand, and it's gonna, you know, lead into another thing. And it's just, anybody's beatable. You got to show up. You got to study it, and they got to practice hard all week.
Well, let's talk a little bit about these last two games, because Marathon looks like a much improved team. I mean, they had a couple of last-second losses early against Auburndale and against Loyal Greenwood, or else they could be, you know, having an outstanding record this season.
Yep.
They got True Thurs, who's been putting up big numbers. They got some good receivers and everything else.
Yep.
It looks like a really big challenge on the road on Friday.
It's not going to be easy. You know, we know that they got some real good athletes, and you know, the numbers that they've been putting up, and then their offense. It's you got to be able to stop everything. You got to be able to stop the pass, and you got to be able to honor their run. Otherwise, they're going to beat you one of two ways. You know, so you got to respect them, and they're going to be a good team. We don't expect a lopsided game on either side of the ball. It's going to be a grind. You know, it's going to be, you know, I hope that our guys show up and they're ready to play. And you know, they've worked hard this week, and I think they know what's at stake, and I think they know how important a win this week is.
I know that you and everybody else is focused completely on Marathon. I want to ask a general question about your Week 9 game against Amherst, who's right now undefeated and could be playing for a conference championship. They got a big game, to say the least, coming up this week. But how do you look at let's knock on wood here and say, you know, hopefully that you'll be playing some playoff football in Level 1. Is having a game like that in Week 9 a good thing to kind of ramp up into the postseason?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you want it to be an important game. You want it to matter. Otherwise, you know, you take a week off and you try to just go through the motions. Well, then you're a week behind, and then who knows what happens that first week of playoffs. So, you know, I think going into that, you know, you want to win every time that you're on the field. And I think you're just going to take away a lot of positive things that, hey, we want to be hitting on all cylinders going into it. And hopefully that we have an extra week after Week 9 that we can continue to build on.
We like to ask our coaches, you know, look beyond here what's happening this season and at the varsity level about the state of the program. And Wittenberg-Burnham Wood has done such a nice job in recent years, really becoming a force in the CWC large and a very good conference and being able to compete on a week-in and week-out basis with schools like Stratford and Amherst and the rest of these schools in this conference. But as you look further down in your program, how would you grade the state of play within the entire program? Is this something that you feel like you have some seeds in the ground that are going to sprout and keep Wittenberg-Burnham Wood among the top half of the CWC large for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, that's our goal every year. You know, I mean, our goal is obviously, you know, put everything in this year, and then, you know, we want those kids to enjoy it, come back, build off their success, you know, and have those kids, you know, experience success at the JV level, and hopefully that, you know, they can continue to, you know, you get kids to step up and become leaders and a new identity. You know, we're going to lose 16 guys, and it's going to be hard to do that. You know, it's but it's going to give a lot of kids opportunity to play. And, you know, some of the guys now that are already playing that you hope to just step up even more and become better leaders and moving the program forward and continuing to build off the success that we have had.
Are numbers generally good at Wittenberg-Burnham Wood for football?
Yeah, you know, I mean, any small school is going to go through, you know, ups and downs, and as long as you don't have two or three classes in a row with low numbers. But I think, you know, that winning mindset, and, you know, you're going to get all those athletes out that, you know, normally, oh, maybe they're just basketball guys or basketball. Like, football is a sport that you can just play your junior and senior year, never played before, and have success. And we're starting to see that, you know, we're more and more where guys have never played in the youth program and haven't played early on in their high school, but their buddies are winning on the football team and they want to be part of it. And they end up coming out and actually doing a lot to contribute to the program.
And I wanted to touch on the changes with playoffs and the qualifications and the matrix and everything else that is involved in it. How do you look at that? Do you like it?
Well, I kind of forgot all about it, to tell you the truth. And then that playoff just came out, like the playoff qualifiers, like their prediction or whatever.
Right.
You know, you look back and it's like, okay, that Tomahawk loss now really plays a factor, not just, you know, not winning, you know, and not having a winning record in conference anymore. It's just, that would have helped add more points. And I'm not 100% understand the whole thing. I get the logistics of it, but I don't know how you get all your points. And I like it. I think it's a good thing, especially moving your top four seeds. You know, when you have especially a conference like us with Amherst and Stratford, like, you don't want to necessarily be paired up with all of them in the same regional going into playoffs going, hey, one of these teams is good enough to go to state. We shouldn't have to beat up on each other since we've already beat up on each other during the regular season. So I think it's a good thing to have.
And I guess kind of wrap it up as you head down the stretch with two really tough games coming up and then hopefully a playoff run as well. What is the biggest area that your team has to be better at to be successful against Marathon and Amherst and then hopefully in the postseason tournament as well?
Yeah, we just can't beat ourselves. That's just kind of been our, you know, our early thing on. I think a lot of in the past we've relied on Bryson's experience to kind of get us out of jams, and now we're realizing, hey, we can't have that, you know, third and one where we have a false start and push us back five more yards. Like, we need to clean it up, and we can't be shooting ourselves in the foot.
Outstanding. Again, Coach Jason Rick of the Wittenberg-Burnham Wood Chargers, congrats on the success your program has had in recent years. Best of luck as you finish up the regular season, and really appreciate your time here tonight.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I enjoy it, so I appreciate that.
Fantastic, and we'll get you back on soon, because when we hear you enjoy it, that means we want you back soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Coach.
Yep, thank you.
Then that's Jason Rick, the head football coach of the Wittenberg-Burnham Wood Chargers. Again, that is a tough conference. That is a really tough conference. And Marathon is a good football team. They're on the road against on Friday. And then, of course, Amherst, don't have to say they're a good football team. They prove it, and they prove it every week and every season. But Wittenberg-Burnham has been proving it in recent years as well. Some really good football teams at Whitburn for the last number of years, and they're going to look for another good run in the postseason tournament coming up, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks. We're going to take a timeout, come back, look ahead. Yep, we're heading to week number 8 of the high school football season. Huge games with conference and playoff implications as well. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. On Saturday, the Wausau East High School football team plays host to Lakeland in a Great Northern Conference matchup. Hear all the exciting action live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 11:35 a.m. and the kickoff set for 12 noon on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau East football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Compass Properties, Grand Avenue Artifactory, Sun Printing, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Lopnose, The Mill Yard, Northland Painting, Callan Street Pub, Rocket Industrial, and the Cloverbelt Credit Union. It's Wausau East hosting Lakeland in high school football Saturday, live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 11:35 a.m., kickoff at noon on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm. Mobile devices by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
What's your idea of fall fun? Maybe it's hitting the trails on a new ATV. Then it's time to call CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union. Or if you're thinking of a UTV for hauling wood or hunting, or maybe just because it would make the tasks around your property so much easier, it's time to call CCU. ATVs, UTVs, utility tractors, and their attachments for care of your property. Whether you need it for fun or to get the job done, Clover Belt Credit Union is here to help with the great rate financing you want. What are you waiting for? Life's too short and winter's too long. Thinking about a motorhome or maybe a snowplow for your ATV or utility tractor? Call CCU for great rate financing. And if you're thinking motorcycle, Clover Belt Credit Union has the financing you need for the bike you want. Call or apply online at ccuwausau.com. Check it out. For vehicle loans, for mortgages, for financing fall fun, call Clover Belt Credit Union. That's CCU. Local lenders lending local money. Keeping our community strong.
For more than 60 years, Sun Printing has been Central Wisconsin's printer of choice due to their commitment to quality, creative solutions, and dedicated service. Sun Printing's team offers you a wide spectrum of services. Whether you need vehicle graphics, offset, digital, large format, graphic designer mailing, they print everything under the sun. No project is too big or too small. So give Sun Printing a call at 845-4911 or visit them online at sunprinting.com.
Thanks to the Wausau West Warrior Gridiron Club for their support of this broadcast of Warrior Football on 98.9 WXCO. The Wausau West Warrior Gridiron Club supports the Wausau West football student athletes in their activities and supports the Warriors from the opening kickoff to the final gun. Find out more about the Wausau West Warrior Gridiron Club and Wausau West football at their website, wausauwestfootball.com. Again, thanks to the Wausau West Gridiron Club for their support of this broadcast on 98.9 WXCO.
And welcome back. It is the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Also at YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO channel. Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh. And Ian, I'm going to say it to you because I normally say it to Jason Foster.
Okay.
The best part of the show is when we have the interviews. I think always great to hear from coaches and student athletes, find out a little bit more about what makes them tick, learn a little bit more from inside the lines, because as much as I think I may know, I don't know. And I'm not in the locker room when things are at the tightest in terms of situations, or out on the field when things are going either sideways or not as well as you'd like. But to hear the thoughts of Jason Rick, the Wittenberg-Burnham coach, and hear about how when you lose your starting quarterback before the first game of the season, how it kind of blows everything up, because this was a young man that Bryson Schmidt, who had been so good, who was expected to be one of the best players in the area, and to lose him with a season-ending injury before the season starts, and how do you put it all back together? And being in such a tough conference, and I love hearing about that, and hearing from the two young men from Newman Catholic and their football program, and how the last 2 years that program has been just fighting injury after injury. A team with 20 or fewer players on it, and a lot of these injuries are two-way players, and still to battle and still to have a 5-2 record going into their game against Tri-County on Friday night. I just love hearing the thoughts of this, of these folks who are so close to the action, and that's, again, I think the best part of the show.
Absolutely. I think a lot of the stories they talk about, you know, to hear it actually told from their perspective is, you know, very powerful, and it really says a lot about, you know, how they play as a team, you know, how they work together. And even when it's when bad things happen, they're still able to find a way to, you know, work through it and try to learn from those mistakes and do better next time. And that's one of the important aspects of high school sports. It's not always about winning or losing. Although winning is nice.
It is nice.
But it's also about the game itself, you know, playing as a team and just the support that comes out from all the people who come to watch these games, that cheer on their families and friends, and just the whole community of high school sports is a very powerful thing.
You're exactly right. And somebody I was surprised would be listening. I'm not surprised because he had two of his players on. But Paul Micklick, the Newman Catholic coach, just sent me a message that I was talking about the preliminary seedings and the playoff matrix. Well, the WIAA now has the official preliminary qualifying report out. Okay. And you can go to WIAAWI.org, go to Score Center, football database, and preliminary qualifying report. I see a lot of the numbers are similar to what we were talking about with the unofficial, but these are the official numbers. So, again, go to the WIAA site, and you can see some of the official numbers on where teams stand currently when it comes to the final couple of weeks before the start of the playoffs. And let's get to the field and talk about some of the action going on this weekend in high school football. Again, the pressure starting to ramp up. It'd be still pretty nice weather-wise, it looks like, on Friday night, but we're eventually going to get some real football weather, I think. Be better than last week. It was really hot last week. So better football weather coming up on Friday. Wisconsin Valley Conference showdown in Stevens Point on Friday. The DC Everest Evergreens, the Stevens Point Panthers. Last season, they played a thriller at Steam Stadium where Everest was able to win it en route to a conference championship. Stevens Point coming off a night where they put up nearly 700 yards of total offense against Eau Claire North last week, snapping a two-game losing streak. I was exceptionally impressed with quarterback Trent Breitbach 2 weeks ago when he faced off against Wausau West. He is a kid that can throw it, and he can run it, and he's very hard to bring down when he does run it. He had just an outstanding night last week, 375 yards passing, three touchdowns, over 100 yards rushing. Just a kid that puts up huge numbers for DC Everest. They're going to have to find a way to slow him down. It's not going to be an easy one for the Evergreens. So Stevens Point needs a win. A win would put them in a first-place tie in the WVC with DC Everest. So, again, a good one coming up on Friday at Gerke Field. Meantime, we will be at Tom Field on Friday night. The Wausau West football team taking on Eau Claire Memorial. Eau Claire Memorial in Wausau West. And the Warriors trying to bounce back from a difficult Friday in Marshfield last week. They had a two-game winning streak. Things were going really well for the Warriors. And then Marshfield defeated the Warriors 40-22. Eau Claire Memorial, hey, they got their first conference win. And this is an Eau Claire Memorial team that has been much improved from a year ago. They were a team that, watching them last year, they did not want to tackle. They did not look like they wanted to play football. This year, from the very first game, I remember watching the first game when they played Hudson, a very good team. It was a different Eau Claire Memorial team. It's a team that's been much more competitive this year. They came inches away from beating their crosstown rival, Eau Claire North, a few weeks back. And then last week, they did defeat Wisconsin Rapids 29-20. Aaron Gunlock is a quarterback that likes to throw it around a bit. He had 202 yards and three touchdowns. touchdowns. And they also showed a bit of a run game. They had a pair of 100-yard rushers against Eau Claire North. Wausau West has had a little difficulty, I think, slowing down the run recently. That's one area the Warriors have to be better at. I do think Wausau West should be able to move the football both on the ground and through the air on Friday night. But it is a huge game for the Warriors. They come in 4-3 overall, 3-2 in the conference. They have a non-conference crossover in Week 9 at River Falls. That is a very good River Falls team. It's non-conference, but it does count in terms of playoff qualification. Every team in the Valley has one game with a Big Rivers team that is considered a conference crossover, where the game does not count in the conference standings, but it does count in terms of qualifying for the playoffs. So, again, for Wausau West, you want to get that fourth conference win this week, then not have to go over to River Falls to get a fourth conference win next week. Wausau West and Eau Claire Memorial, you can hear the game live right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 o'clock. Also in the Valley, Marshfield, they conceivably could be in a first-place tie in the conference at the end of play on Friday. Marshfield is at Eau Claire North. Tigers are just 3-4 overall, but they are 3-1 in the WVC. So a golden opportunity for Marshfield. If they win and Stevens Point wins against DC Everest, all of those teams would be 4-1 in the conference. Eau Claire North, they are a team that has one win in the conference. They're 1-3. They're 2-5 overall. They did win their conference crossover. So in terms of playoff qualification, Eau Claire North is 2-3 in the conference. So they look at this as an opportunity to get a third conference win in terms of ultimately getting to the postseason. So a vital game as well for the Huskies of Eau Claire North. The game will be played at Eau Claire North High School on Friday. And if there is a team that has got the short end of the stick when it's come to their non-conference games this year, it's Wisconsin Rapids. The Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln Red Raiders still looking for that first win of the campaign. They've had non-conference games so far this year with the Big Rivers, some of the best teams in the Big Rivers Conference, like Rice Lake. They also had an early season game. I'm trying to remember who they had the first game with, but it was, again, a very tough game. They have New Richmond coming up on Friday night. New Richmond is an outstanding football team as well. So New Richmond at Wisconsin Rapids, boy, again, it's going to take time for Mike Krentz to build that program, but he is a guy that knows what he's doing. It's a team that I think a program that will get better. They've gotten better as the season's gone on. They've played much more competitive football games the last 3 weeks. They lost 14-12 against Wausau West 3 weeks ago. They had a 13-0 lead before falling 24-13 against Marshfield 2 weeks ago, and then 29-20 at Eau Claire Memorial last week. So again, it's a team, Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln, that has played better football recently, but still looking for that first win of the campaign. Great Northern Conference. Boy, what a race we have in the GNC. Three teams are tied atop the conference standings. We got Merrill, we have Mosinee, and we have Tomahawk. They're all 4-1 in the conference. And two of those teams will meet in a showdown Friday night. Merrill at Tomahawk. Tomahawk, what a year for Coach Dewey Riley and his team. Dewey Riley, and I hope you heard our interview with him a few weeks back here on this program, he led Tomahawk to a state hockey championship last year. Now he's turned around the football program as well, and when he's done with football, he'll be back on the ice with Tomahawk to start their season. So what Dewey Riley has done has been incredibly impressive at Tomahawk. They are 6-1 overall, 4-1 in the conference. Merrill carries a four-game winning streak. They are 5-2 overall, 4-1 in the conference. The only loss Merrill had this year was a close one on the road, 21-14 against Mosinee. Boy, I mean, this one, flip a coin. I really don't know. I think this Merrill team is playing great football. This Tomahawk team is finding ways to win, and that was a very impressive bounce back last week for Tomahawk. They lost their first game of the year by 7 to Mosinee 2 weeks ago, but they went on the road, beat an always good Medford program 24-14. So again, really, really good stuff. Merrill at Tomahawk on Friday night. Mosinee will look to keep their share of first place in the conference. They travel to Antigo. It's been a struggle for the Antigo Red Robins so far this year. Still looking for that first conference win. They're 0-5. They're 1-6 overall. Molesny looks like they're playing their best football of the season. The last three games, a win over Wausau East, a win over previously undefeated Tomahawk, and then a really good, impressive win, a big win over Rhinelander last week, 41-14. And for Antigo or anybody else facing Molesny, have to try and slow down Treve Stoffel, both running the ball, passing the ball, on defense. He does it all for the Molesny squad. So Molesny at Antigo. Medford is at Rhinelander. This is a huge game for both these teams. They're both 2-3 in the conference. The winner moves to 3-3 in the conference. That could be enough to get them in the postseason playoffs. The loser goes to 2-4. Then they will have to win their final game and then hope that 3-4 in the conference is good enough to make the postseason. So Medford at Rhinelander, massive game for both these teams if they hope to be playing in a couple of weeks in Level 1. And coming up on Saturday, another game that we will have for you right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, the Wausau East Lumberjacks play host to the Lakeland Thunderbirds, another significant game in the Great Northern. Lakeland, to start things off, they are one game out of first place. Lakeland is 3-2 in the conference, 5-2 overall. They snapped a two-game losing streak last week, 21-7 over Antigo. They still have hopes of a conference championship. Lakeland will be in the postseason in all likelihood. They need one more win officially to get into the postseason. And then Wausau East. The Lumberjacks are 2-5 overall. They're 1-4 in the conference. But, as I said earlier, 3-4 in the conference can still get you in. In fact, most teams 3-4 in 11-player football will get in the postseason. Wausau East can still do it. They need to win their final two games. They're both at Tom Field this week, Saturday, against Lakeland, and then in Week 9 at home against Antigo. And, of course, Antigo has struggled. They have not won in conference, so you have to feel pretty good if you're Wausau East in Week 9. But the hurdle they have to clear Saturday will be the big one against Lakeland. So if they can beat Lakeland Saturday, puts them still in a position perhaps to get into the postseason playoffs in Division 3. So that is the Great Northern Conference. CWC Large. We just talked plenty about CWC Large with Jason Rick, the head football coach at Wittenberg-Burnhamwood, just a few minutes ago. This is a terrific conference, and you got the top two teams getting together on Friday night. One of the games, I'm sure if you watch the TV stations, they have their games of the week. I would think that they would be at this one, Amherst hosting Stratford. For the conference championship, in all likelihood, Stratford, they started their season off with non-conference losses to Molesny and to Edgar, but since then they have won 5 in a row in conference. Their closest shave came against Wittenberg-Burnhamwood in week number 4 of the campaign. Wittenberg-Burnhamwood had a lead into the final seconds. Stratford scored late to force overtime and then won it on a long field goal, 16-13. Since then, Stratford has been playing some dominant football. They look to be really rolling into form heading into this one against Amherst. Amherst, meantime, they started their off with 5 consecutive blowout wins. They were dominant in their first 5 games. Then the last 2 weeks, 35-22 against Spencer Columbus at home in Amherst 2 weeks ago. As Spencer Columbus, again, a team that's played the very good teams, very, very tough this year. And then last week, Amherst had to struggle and ultimately get a late interception to hold on for a 27-21 win at Wauwega Fremont. So, again, in terms of form, it does look like maybe Stratford is rolling into form a little bit better than Amherst. But Amherst does have the home field advantage, and it should be a packed house at that beautiful facility in Amherst as Stratford takes on Amherst on Friday. Another game that I think has the potential of being one of the more entertaining games this week in high school football is Wittenberg-Burnhamwood at Marathon. We spoke about Wittenberg-Burnhamwood plenty. They are now 4-3 overall, 3-2 in the conference. Marathon, they had a two-game winning streak snapped in their loss at Stratford last week. Marathon 3-4, 2-3 in the conference. So Marathon still very much in the playoff race. The 2 weeks before last week, Marathon's offense had been humming. True Thurs, the quarterback, and especially Garrett Bracewell, their wide receiver. Bracewell had more than 200 yards receiving 2 weeks ago when Marathon put up 50 points in their game against Wauwega Fremont. For Wittenberg-Brunnenwood, they're going to have to try to slow down as much as possible, true thirds, and make sure, perhaps have double team often against Garrett Bracewell, a very big play receiver for the Marathon Red Raiders. That game being played in Marathon Friday night, massive game for Wittenberg-Brunnenwood. You don't want to lose that game if you're Wittenberg-Brunnenwood, because if they do, they would be 4-4 overall, 3-3 in the conference, heading into a Week 9 game at home against, right now, undefeated Amherst. So, again, no easy games in the CWC large. And for Marathon, they have two tough games. They got to find at least one win and maybe two, but I think one win should get them in. Marathon against either Whitburn, or then they wrap up their season against Spencer Columbus. But the good news for Marathon is that both those games will be played in Marathon. But, again, that doesn't give you any points. You still have to go out there and earn it. Colby is at Spencer Columbus, and all of a sudden, after that big win for Spencer Columbus last week at Loyal Greenwood, they have moved themselves into playoff position. Spencer Columbus, 3-4 overall, 2-3 in the conference. And again, they have played tough football all season long, even the games they lost. They went to Stratford early in the season, was tied at halftime. They played really well and tough at Amherst 2 weeks ago. And then they went to Loyal Greenwood last week and earned a big road win to put themselves back in the mix for a playoff berth. Colby, again, they've struggled. That's usually a very solid program, but they have struggled, still looking for that first conference win. But last week they did put 33 points on the board in their game against Wittenberg-Brunnenwood. And Luke Hanula had 179 yards rushing. So, again, that's somebody that Spencer Columbus will have to keep an eye on. And then finally, Loyal Greenwood at Wyawega Fremont. Wyawega Fremont gave Amherst everything they could want and more last week before falling 27-21. For Wyawega Fremont, they need to find a couple of wins to wrap up their season to put themselves at 3-4 in the conference and put themselves in position to perhaps get a playoff berth. And Loyal Greenwood, after starting the season off at 4-0, 2-0 in the conference, they've lost three games in a row. Tough games. Amherst, they lost to. They lost to Stratford as well. And then they, oh, actually not Stratford, they lost to Wittenberg-Brunnenwood 2 weeks ago, 19-16. And then they lost last week to Spencer Columbus. But the problem is for Loyal Greenwood, if they don't win this week, then they have to go to Stratford, actually, to wrap up the season. And you don't want to have that game be the ultimate game to get you in the playoffs, because if they don't win this week against Wyawega Fremont on the road, they would be 2-4 in the conference, and then they would have to go to Stratford next week, and in all likelihood have to win that game in order to make the playoffs. So after a great start for Loyal Greenwood, all of a sudden things have gotten much more hairy with two road games to finish up their season. Then you have the Marrowood CWC, Thursday night game, Edgar at Pacelli. And Edgar, undefeated, heading towards, again, perhaps a run. They are in Division 6 this year, however. They did move up a division, make it more difficult when the postseason gets underway, but they appear to be on their way to another conference championship. Pacelli Cardinals, 2-3 in the conference. They got to find a way to earn another win to perhaps earn themselves a spot in the postseason. It will not be easy at Gerke Field on Thursday against a very tough Edgar team. Then you have Assumption at Auburndale. Assumption in their final year in 11-player football. They're going to the 8-man route next year, and they need another win to perhaps earn themselves a spot in the playoffs. It will not be easy at Auburndale. Boy, Auburndale had one of the more impressive wins last week when they defeated previously undefeated in conference Abbotsford 42-0. So Auburndale, their only blemish this year, a loss against Edgar, 6-1 overall, 4-1 in the conference. Nathan Van Wy has had a huge season for Auburndale. He had 224 yards rushing last week on just 11 carries. I mean, that young man has been doing fantastic work all season long. And if Assumption has any hopes of trying to get a W against Abbotsford, I should say against Auburndale, they're going to have to slow down Nathan Van Wy. So, again, that is going to be a tough one for the Assumption Royals as they try to find that third conference win to perhaps get themselves in the postseason playoffs. Also in the Marrowood CWC, you have Iola Scandinavia at Pittsville. Pittsville, the last couple of weeks, have started to show signs of life. They had a real rough start. 2 weeks ago, they put up 42 points in a 50-42 loss against the Abbotsford Falcons. And then we had last week, they were able to win, knocking off the Pittsville actually they won last week. Pittsville by a score of 30-6 against Assumption. Dawson Luther has been terrific for the Panthers. 2 weeks ago in that game against Abbotsford, he had one of the monster games of the season. He ran for 389 yards and 5 touchdowns in that game. And so, again, Dawson Luther is definitely someone to keep an eye on for the Pittsville Panthers in that game against Iola Scandinavia. Pittsville wins that game, that would be their third conference win, and they would be perhaps in line to earn themselves a playoff berth. Abbotsford will not be playing this week. This is the week they were supposed to play Rostold in conference. They initially had a makeup game against Kenosha St. Joseph, one of the top-ranked teams in the state, but that game has been canceled as well. And then as we look at eight-player football, the Newman Cardinals and Tri-County, game being played down in Plainfield, a big one for both teams as they play their final game. Again, for eight-player football, this is the final game of the regular season, and a home playoff game could be on the line for both these teams on Friday. They're both right now, as you look at the WIAA eight-player preliminary field, right now, if the season ended, they have Newman Catholic as number 14 of the 32 teams making the postseason. That means Newman would get a home playoff game. Tri-County, number 18 among the 32 that would make the playoffs, and they would be on the road. But if Tri-County beats Newman, obviously that would affect the way that the playoff field is ultimately divvied out at the end of play this weekend. So Newman Catholic at Tri-County, an early game with significance for the playoffs, and Newman Catholic at Tri-County will be heard on the Sports 2 stream of WXEO.FM and the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show Friday night at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 o'clock. That game will also be airing on a tape delay basis following the Wausau West game here on 98.9 WXEO. Marion Tigerton will look to complete a conference championship. They travel to Wild Rose, and also Almond Bancroft is at Wabino Leona in the CW8, involving teams in the CW8, I should say, because Almond Bancroft is getting a makeup game for a forfeit. Two of the teams, in fact, to wrap up the season, not playing in that conference, and that's never a good sign. And then finally, Northwoods East 8, Athens, a team that is 13th in the eight-player projections going into the final week of the season, and they would love to get a W and in all likelihood have a home game next week in the playoffs. They will host Rib Lake. You got Phillips at Hurley and Prentice at Flambeau as well, involving teams in the East 8. And Prentice is a team that has a tough one against Flambeau, because Flambeau is the number one team listed in the preliminary qualifying report at WIAAWI.org. So again, you can get all the seven divisions, 11-player, the eight-player preliminary qualifying report. See where your favorite team is lined up right now in terms of potential playoff seeding at WIAAWI.org. Go to Score Center, Football Database, and Preliminary Qualifying Report. Just to recap the three games that we will have for you this weekend here with WXCO. Friday night, a pair of games. Wausau West hosting Eau Claire Memorial. Homecoming for the Warriors, 6:35 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff, live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Friday night, Newman Catholic at Tri-County, massive game in 8-player. 6:40 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff, live on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and the Civic Media app, and on tape delay following the West game on 98.9 WXCO. And playoff hopes must win for Wausau East Saturday. Lumberjacks need a win Saturday, need a win next Friday in order to have any chance for a postseason berth. Saturday, Wausau East hosting Lakeland. 12 noon kickoff, 11:35 a.m. for the pregame on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.FM, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Ian, thank you.
You're welcome, Jen. And it's always interesting when you're flying a soul. So it's not a bad thing.
It's more, you know, it's a lot of talking. It's more interesting when Jason Foster is here. And he'll be back with us next week. We'll have a coach guest. We'll have a student athlete guest. We will have brackets for the eight-player football playoffs. We will be heading into the final week of the 11-player regular season, so a lot on the plate next week, 6 till 8 p.m., Big High School Sports Show here on 98.9 WXCO. So, again, thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week, and also tune in for our three games coming up on Friday and Saturday here on 98.9 WXCO.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, streaming at BullFallsRadio.com.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 98.9 WXCO.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We could do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoon from 4 until 6.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do?